How wonderful it is to realize that we are made in the image of God. I bring greetings from the New Hope Community Church where I have served for the past 16 years. And as I look at New Life BP Church, I begin to realize that if Life Church were to be our Jerusalem, New Life is our Antioch, the church in Antioch. And the church in Antioch was the launching pad for the church to go all over the world. As a matter of fact, the church that I'm with right now has about 1,000 congregations throughout the whole country of the United States. And it has also worked in the Middle East. In fact, they had a missionary that was recognized as the apostle to Islam. And his name was Samuel Zwemer, and his brother Peter Zwemer. They loved the Muslims, and they made such a great impact in that part of the world that it is the only denomination that is recognized to be working in the Middle East, particularly in the country of Oman. So I do not want to dwell too much on that, the church I'm with, but I will get into the word right now. I think it's quite interesting. I'm thankful for the opportunity that Pastor Gan and Prasad, Elder Prasad, and also the session were given me to share the Word of God with you. Today I am taking another look at the image of God in man. It's a great subject, it's a very important subject. If you were to look at the text again, Genesis 1, 26, 27, you'll notice in 26 it says, "Let us make man in our image." And if you look at verse 27, it says, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." The first question which I'd like to ask ourselves is, what do we understand by the image of God in man? And I have reduced it to one word, and that word is S-C-R-I-S-M. S-C-R-I-S-M. It's a word that you cannot find in the dictionary. It's an acronym which I try to make it simple for all of us to understand the image of God in man. Number one, the first characteristic of this image of God in man is the ability to speak. Our ability to speak. The image of God in man, to make it very simple, we ask the question, who and what God is, we are. Who is God? What is God? And we are his image. We reflect him. That means who he is what we are. For example, like God speaks. Now he has given us the ability to speak. Animals do not speak. Animals cannot speak. At one time, there was this interesting professor by the name of John Wickham, and there was a group of people who were trying to argue, and he said, "Look, the chimpanzee can speak." And they found that it was a false claim because they have no speech organ. But only human beings have speech organs. We are able to speak. So God spoke the world into existence. So we are able to speak. We are able to speak in such a way that our speech can be reduced to writing. And only human beings can do that. Number two, creativity. First, speech ability. Second is creativity. God created. Now, there's a difference between God creating and we creating. In Genesis 1, we have three verses there that uses the word create, and in verse 1, verse 21, and verse 27. Now, the difference between us and God is that God is able to create something out of nothing. But we cannot do that. We create, but we have to create things out of things. If we want to create something, we must have something in existence already. For example, this building. We cannot say, let this building come into being, and boom, the building comes up. No, we cannot do that. We have to have the existing materials. So, using the existing materials, we bring this building into being. So, that's the second characteristic, the creativity. Now, the third aspect of this image of God in man is the letter R. R stands for rationality. Rationality, we think. We are different from animals in that animals act instinctively, but we act rationally. We think through issues. So C-R-I, the next I, stands for immortality. Immortality. In other words, while God is eternal, we are immortal. Then you ask me, what's the difference between the two? The difference is that while God has no beginning, no end, we have a beginning. We have no end. We either end up in heaven or end up in hell. We all have a beginning. It depends on how old you are. If you are 30 years old, you began 30 years ago in your mother's womb. So C-R-I-S. S stands for spirituality. Human beings worship. It may be very primitive. It may be out in the forests of the Amazon jungle. But as long as you are a human being, you have a sense of the spirit world. You may worship the wrong God, you may worship idols, but you worship. Now, we worship the true and living God through Jesus Christ. Now, evolution will teach you that human beings evolve. You at first worship idols, you worship trees, you worship rivers, you worship the sun and the moon, then you evolve. That is not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we began to worship. Human beings began to worship the true and living God. As a result of sin, human beings degenerate. They go downwards. They don't go upwards. They go downwards. So you see here, worship is an aspect. And then finally, M. M stands for morality. Morality. That means right and wrong. You see, sin has a tremendous impact on the human race. Sin has affected the image of God in man. Every aspect of the human race, beginning from the speech ability all the way to morality, has been affected by sin. Sin has damaged that image. It has not destroyed that image, but it has damaged that image in the human race. That is why every aspect of our image is not what God intends it to be. That is the reason why human beings worship idols. I don't want to go to all the areas, but I just focus on a few. One of which, of course, is the ability to worship. We worship. The problem with the human race is that instead of worshiping the true and living God, they worship false gods. They worship idols. Then you understand why people worship idols. Because of sin affecting that image in us. And the other thing is creativity. God has intended man to create things that are helpful. to themselves, to the human race, but because of sin, we create not only good, we also create evil. What are the things that human beings have created that are evil? We create weapons of mass destruction. We create the atomic bomb. We create the hydrogen bomb. So creativity is there, but the creation is negative. Well, I don't want to just give you the bad news. I want to share with you the good news. And the good news is that Jesus Christ came into the picture. Jesus Christ, when he comes into the human race, he comes into your life, he comes into my life, that image is restored. The restoration of man's fallen image. And the good news is this, instead of worshiping idols, we now have our eyes open. Now we are able to see the true and living God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are able to worship the true and living God. Now it is not something that is natural, it is not something that has been evolved, but rather it is something that God works in your heart and works in my heart. That's why we are able to worship the true and living God. The restoration of the image. So one of the things that we parents, I'm now speaking to parents, those of us who have children, one of the best things, one of the best things that parents can do for their children is to lead them to Jesus Christ as early as possible. As soon as they are able to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, as soon as they are able to come to faith in Jesus Christ, please go ahead and do it. Because the earlier they come to faith in Christ, our children, the better it is for them. Because not only is their spirituality restored, but every area is restored. Every area. They will do better in school. They will be better behaved in the home. They will be better related to other people. So Christianity is very practical. Christianity is not just something that affects our spiritual life. It affects every area of our lives. So some of us may not have children, but we have our nephews and our nieces. Now that's what we can do to them. That is to lead them to Jesus Christ. Bringing up the church is great. It is wonderful if you send your children to church. I know there are parents who send their children to church. It's good, but it's not as good as when you come with them. You know why? Why is it not as good when you send your children to church? You drive them to the church, and then you drive them there, and off you go. Well, initially they come to church. Initially they will say to themselves, wonderful, I come to church. And then as they grow up, they begin to ask themselves, eh, very funny. My parents don't come to church. They only send me to church. That means, in that thinking, they were saying to themselves, church is not important for adults. It's only important for children. So as they grow older and they grow bigger, they say to themselves, well, I have graduated from church. I don't need to go to church anymore because I'm an adult now. I go to secondary school, I go to college, I don't need to church anymore. Now, that is the downside. If you send your children only to church and they don't come with them, the best thing that you can do for your children is come with them to church. Worship with them, and then you convey a message by your presence with them that church is important. You teach by example. You don't have to tell them. They say, well, you see, my parents always give priority. My parents always Sunday. They make it a point to go to church. And they go to church early. They definitely come on time, but they go to church early. So you see here, the image of God in man? Number one, God has distinguished us between human beings and the animal world. That's a big demarcation between us and the animal world. The characteristics that we have are the characteristics that God has. God has those characteristics. God gives us those characteristics. But as I said earlier, sin has come into the picture, and those characteristics, I call them the image of God in man, have been damaged, not destroyed, damaged. Thank God, God still keep those damaged image in us, because he's waiting for the time when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, then the restoration of those aspects of the image of God. And this time is no longer after Adam. This time is after the last Adam. That's after Jesus Christ. More and more as we come to church, more and more as we walk with the Lord, more and more as we do the Bible study, as we study the Word of God, our image will be more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's why we say we want to be Christ-like. We want to be as like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as possible. This is the restoration of God's image in us. If that's why we say 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Or you can also say he's a new creation. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. I've seen it happen. I know one particular location in Singapore. I do not want to be too specific. I remember in that particular housing estate, those people who went to church, they live in one-room flats, sometimes two rooms. They went. Thank God. And by the way, it was a BP church, Bible Presbyterian Church. And as time went by, these young people who went to church, some of them became very, very distinguished personality in Singapore. One of them, as a matter of fact, became the chief of staff in the Singapore military. From a one-room flat. Why? Because early in their life, they come to faith in Jesus Christ. So you see here, the Christian faith does make a big difference in our lives. Is it not true? One of the best thing that you can do for yourself and for your children is to make sure they come to faith in Jesus Christ as early as possible. Don't say it's too early. It's never too early. You know, there are some parents who say, no, you know, don't influence them. Don't influence them. They are too young. And I tell you, I know of somebody, I mean, not here, you know. And this is exactly what he told us. Don't influence them when they are young. Let them grow up first. Let me tell you this. When they grow up, they don't go to church anymore. Too late. Too late. The world has made such an impact in their lives. They say, I don't need church anymore. So this is a lesson that we need to learn. And the lesson is, the earlier, the better. The earlier, the better. So that's why it's so important to have the kindergarten. And thank God that the kindergarten is continuing right here. And then you also have Sunday school. Make sure they learn the Word of God early. The earlier, the better. Why? It's found in the Bible. How did Timothy become a Christian? What did Paul say to him? Paul told him, Timothy, from infancy, From a child, King James translation, from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, the word can probably be translated from infancy. From infancy, you have known the Holy Scripture. Well, someone will object and say, how can an infant know the Word of God? Can an infant read? Of course the infant cannot read. But that doesn't mean that the infant cannot feel the Word and the love of God. The infant in your arm can feel the love of God when the mother carries him or her in her arm and whisper the love of God in the baby's ears. So early in the infant's life, the child senses that the mother loves him or her, and the mother wants him or her to know Jesus Christ. So don't underestimate children. One of the signs of a church that is very, very healthy, that God has blessed, is they love children. They want to see that they are in the church as early as possible. And thank God, New Life, I believe you have a youth group, and now you also have a senior adult fellowship. Amazing. And I look at the senior people, they are not senior at all. They are only in their 30s, 40s, 50s, they call themselves seniors. No, no, no. You are too young to call senior. You must be, you know, if I have my way, I would say, if you want to be a senior, you must be past 70. Because we are living longer and longer. So I thank God for the many of you who are here. And one of the, again, another sign of a church that God has blessed is that you have a tremendous spectrum. When I say spectrum, that means you have the youngest to the oldest. You know, some of the churches that I minister in New York, they are very small. I have been with this Thai church. This is my 25th year with them. And I am very impressed by the fact that they say it doesn't matter if we are small, it doesn't matter if we are few, but there is a church. There's a church for the Thai Chinese people. You know, the Thai Chinese, they brought the faith from Bangkok. They were believers over there. They went over. And thank God, I look at the congregation. What do I see? I see infants carried by the parents. I see youth sitting in front. I see young people. And I had the privilege to do all their weddings. I saw them growing up. They were toddlers. They were young people. And they became adults. And they got married. I don't speak a single word of Thai. I don't. But they always did translation. They knew I was from Singapore, so we fit in very well. Southeast Asia. I speak some Teochew, very little Teochew. I'm a Hokkien. But I do understand a little bit of Teochew. So that helps a lot. You know, having been born and raised in Singapore is a great help. Because number one, English is our first language. And then we connect very easily with other races because that's the way we have been brought up. We have no problem relating to other races, be they, Indians or other races. We have no problem at all. So this is what I have to share with you this morning. I pray that the time will come when some of you have already visited me. I pray that more of you will come and visit me. We see the work there. And one of the marvelous things about the work of God there is that the Lord, you know, sometimes does things that you don't expect to happen. For example, one time I went to this particular church. It's a Chinese church, about half an hour from where I stay. And one young man who was working in the English service invited me to speak. And I went there, I spoke. And after I spoke, the two pastors came along. And basically, when I said the two pastors, means the husband and wife, they were both serving as pastors. So they came to me And they said that, no, we have been trying to start a church in Long Island. And we went to try to use a space of whatever church that was available to us, and they, all of them, refused to open the door. So I opened my mouth. I said, you come and see me, I will open my door. And they came. They came in October. I thought, at the most, there was going to be about pastor and his wife and maybe a couple of elders, four people. So I asked my wife to prepare, four cups of tea, to welcome them, talk to them. And lo and behold, there were almost 30 of them came. So I said, forget about the tea. It was not enough for them. So we came, and the pastor and I talked. And I said, okay, when do you want to start? We have an afternoon slot available. After nobody, 3 o'clock, nobody uses the space here. So I say, you want to come? They were so fast. They were very decisive. They came in October, in November, they started the church. And they are still there. The church has been there. And today, it is the largest congregation using our space. And now, not only do they have a Chinese-speaking church, they also have an English-speaking church there. So this is what I was able to do. I was open the door. Open the door to them. And by the way, very interesting, God has a marvelous way of doing things. Where I am right now, there was another Chinese pastor who came from China, related to the Tos. Very interesting. His family name is Sun, S-U-N. Not the Sun here. It's actually Sun Chong Sun, the Sun. And he's there. And now how the Lord brought them together. And now he has three congregations. He has three congregations. He has two in the Chinese area, large Chinese community. And then in the third service, he hosts it at our church premises. So the Lord works in marvelous ways. So one of the things that we do is we see opportunities. When opportunity comes along, we grab it. We grab the opportunities, and then God says, I'm going to bless what you are doing, and this is what God has been doing, using whatever limited talents that we may have. So, okay, let us bow for prayer. I hope I have not taken too much time. No? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you again for being with us, for blessing New Life BP Church over the past 30 over years, and we can see that it has been growing from strength to strength, and that you continue to bless the leadership here as well as the membership. We pray that you continue to do so until Jesus returns. We pray all these things, giving thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.